The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Stephen Thrill-Hill, please serve everyone on Profile This is Play.
Oh, I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions the people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Jordan. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola. All right, Jordan, you understand how this here game is played?
Many times, my friend, many times.
All right, here we go. Today, you have your choice of one of three categories. We have the wonderful world of drugs. We have seriously, where you guess the petty conflict that led to violence. And finally today, license to spill, where you guess the substance responsible for creating the mess.
I'm going to do license to spill. I haven't done that one in a while.
We go back north of the border to Quebec, where an overloaded semi-truck was pulled over while it was leaking product. Now, the incident occurred on April 27th at the Dawville checkpoint. The Crown Corporation explained that the checkpoint, the maximum weight allowed is 45,000 kilograms. The truck weighed 70,850 kilograms, which is over 25,000 kilograms over. Now, as a result, the carrier received a $4,200 fine, and the operator was penalized around $1,200. They say the tanker was excessively full, causing spills from the top of the tanker throughout the journey. With each movement of the truck, cargo leaked, posing a safety and environmental hazard. Now, the corporation added that cracks were found near the rear of the tanker, which was then taken off the road. Now, authorities noted that during the spring thaw, the roads are 30 to 70% more fragile, and a single overloaded vehicle can cause significant damage. It's all understood. The question is, what was leaking out of the overloaded truck? Was it diesel? Was it manure? Was it animal parts? Or was it milk? Diesel, manure, animal parts, or milk? What was this overloaded truck spilling out of its quote-unquote backside?
Say what state?
Quebec, Canada. Province, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Providence.
Province.
I'm just going to stop talking.
Some letters start with S.
If it was overloaded and they're fine, I want to say manure.
Manure. All right, Jordan, I'm going to go milk. For a change, I'm going to take the obvious one and just say it was diesel.
Diesel. Okay. What was spilling out of this truck? Was it diesel, manure, animal parts, or milk? We'll find out next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Category is a license to spill on Profile This. We got a tanker truck in Quebec that was pulled over while leaking its cargo, causing an environmental hazard. Question is, what was spilling out of the back of this truck? Was it diesel, manure, animal parts, or milk?
And Jordan, that is a question that we posed to you. So let's begin with you. You went manure. And I'm sorry, it was not manure. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm glad it was not poop. The Ted Smith, you went with diesel.
All right.
Maybe for a change, it's reasonable. Miles Montgomery, you went milk. And you are correct.
Why is that an environmental hazard?
That's what I always wonder about. Like, dude.
Right, that's a threw me off.
I drink it. It's good for human consumption, but it's an environmental hazard.
It's calcium.
Yeah, I don't get how it works. Maybe it's
that's
raw
all
milk.
Limestone is, and granite is calcium.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they overloaded it. Yes, it was spilling out of the back. But in the end, if it's me, I'm like, look, the good news is that it was milk. But they were pissed.
Now for all TV news all the time, and it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
All right, your choices today. Yeah, Seth Meyers, Colbert,
Stephen,
the Jimmys,
Kimmel, Fallon,
writers,
those guys,
or Ted Smith.
Is it Ted or is it late night?
Well, that's right. The title is guys have teams of talented writers, help them come up with their monologues each and every night. It is up to you to determine, is this an actual late-night joke and from whom, or could it be a V. Ted Smith original?
Disneyland will now use facial recognition technology to reduce fraud. Meanwhile, Busch Gardens is still letting guests pay for tickets by using loose cigarettes.
Fallon?
Disneyland will now use facial recognition technology to reduce fraud. Meanwhile, Busch Gardens is still letting guests pay for tickets using loose cigarettes.
Michael made $97 million over the weekend. It's the largest opening ever for a biopic, even though it leaves a lot of stuff out. It starts with him in the Jackson 5, goes all the way to him becoming a superstar, but it ends before he becomes an old white lady who lives in an abandoned amusement park with a monkey in a leather jacket.
Colbert. Smith.
Kibble.
Michael made $97 million over the weekend. It's the biggest opening ever for a biopic, even though it leaves out a lot of stuff. It starts with him in the Jackson 5. It goes all the way to him becoming a superstar, but it ends before he becomes an old white lady who lives in an abandoned amusement park with a monkey in a leather jacket.
I just heard the other day Bubbles got mean towards the end.
Really?
Yeah, I forget who it was, but some famous...
He's down in Florida, right?
What's that?
He's in Florida.
They were just saying, like, by the time, like, as it got older, it's a chimp.
Yeah.
You could, it was in a cage, and they were like, oh, don't mess with Bubbles. Bubbles. Like, I would have been like, hey, Mike, I get it, but it is a chimp.
Chimpanzee, brother. Mm-hmm. Get the name of Bubbles, doesn't mean it won't rip your face off.
The pizza chain Little Caesars has partnered with the company Flytrax to offer drone delivery. And in a related story, Iran just surrendered.
The Ted Smith.
Yep. Seth Meyers.
The pizza chain Little Caesars has partnered with the company Flytrax to offer drone delivery. And in a related story, Iran just surrendered.
Actress and activist Shannon Elizabeth has made more than $1 million in only 1 week on OnlyFans. You'll remember Shannon Elizabeth from such films as American Pie and American Pie 2.
The Ted Smith,
yeah. Yeah.
That's not a bad call, though, dude.
I
mean. Right.
I had to Google it. It was like, has she done other films?
Yeah. She's one of those people, like, everyone's just waiting for you to get naked. And good for you. You made $1 million, so.
Oh, yeah.
In 1 week.
Well, and I think.
Right.
I don't know. I want to say she stepped away to, like, do family and stuff.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Then I stepped away from family to do OnlyFans.
Yeah. Well, they always contend that it's a lot of them isn't. It's not nudity. It's just
sure.
Sexy shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still made $1 million in 1 week.
Yeah. I haven't made.
I mean, look, I would do it.
Yeah, when I'm not making much over at Only Ted's.
Only Ted's.
Right.
Ted's because only Ted's can join.
I'm shaving my back today.
Right. Well, Ted the Bear makes a lot. I don't. Speaking of making money, it's been 2 decades since Friends ended. They still make a lot of money every year in residuals. All right.
Well, yeah, it's like cornerstone of Nick at Night right now.
How much do you think they make each year? Each of the primary actors, obviously Matthew Perry not included as he's passed away.
Are they all making the same amount?
Correct. Yes, that was one of their big things.
Say
they
one all and a sign. Half.
1.5
per
million?
Episode?
I'll say 10 million a year.
This is how much they're making a year.
A year.
A year. I'm going to say
one and a half. Not it.
Ooh.
Am I way too low?
Yes.
I'm going to say 50 million a year.
All right, that's a little high. They each make about $20 million a year in residuals.
Oh, my God.
The cast only earned $22,500 per episode in season one, but by season 9 and 10, they were each making $1 million per episode.
Damn.
So they're making more on 1 year of reruns than they did when they were actually shooting the show.
But smart actors on a sitcom will make it a point in the contract. Give us those residuals. From syndication, right?
No, and they did a good job, right?
They were very good.
All going to make the same amount, and then, right, we'll get the residuals. But honestly, I don't know, because it depends on how long a season was. They were making $1 million per episode.
Right. Right.
So there might have been seasons.
Anywhere from 13 to 26. I think that's the average.
So they
now,
could have made more.
God.
But that's just wild. I mean, hey, look, frankly, that makes me fathom
why Schwimmer just said after a while, like, I want to just write or just produce and be behind the camera.
I don't need to be gay. Yep.
Right? Like, I think, and look.
Why kill myself trying to get these scripts and go up against all these other people? Like, yeah, I'll start my own production company and do what I want because my income is solid.
Right. And I think if you're a stage actor, you know, or, you know, like.
It's a little different, sure.
Right. Some of those people I believe in when they say, like, it's not, the fame isn't as important. When you're a Hollywood actor, like, fame is obviously important.
Which has got to be crazy when you think about The Simpsons, too.
Yeah. But with $20 million a year,
God.
Maybe there's a certain point where you just go, do I want to get panned making another show? You know, I mean, look at Jason Alexander, right?
All the criticism and all that crap.
Like, he still does well now, but, I mean, he had a few different opportunities, and, like, people just crushed him.
Well, the comeback is great. It's awkward.
Lisa Kudrow. Yeah, Lisa Kudrow is the one that revealed this.
Yeah, she's still working.
Is that new season up on now?
Yeah.
All right,
I'm watching it. I mean, it's cringeworthy. It's funny, but it's very cringy.
Yeah. And I think I said this a couple weeks ago, too, like, I watched a recent episode of Curb because I had kind of got out of watching that.
Yeah.
Honestly, you don't really need to know who Larry David is or any of the main storylines. I mean, I hadn't watched that. I probably hadn't watched it in five seasons. And I was still like, Jesus, this is funny.
Well, every single episode it's encapsulated. There are some rolling story plots, but not many.
Right.
So it encapsulates itself in an episode. You don't have to watch them in order almost.
Right, I feel the same way about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You know what I mean? There's a lot of reference points, and they'll go back to them and stuff. But I don't, like, I tell people all the time, like, if you've never seen it, just watch an episode. Like, you'll probably really like it. Stewie from Family Guy, he's getting a spinoff. It's already got a 2 year older. Seth MacFarlane, who co-created, and will return as the voice of Stewie, obviously. The show will follow Stewie as he enrolls in a new preschool where him and his miserable classmates use devices to travel through space and time, turning, quote, every boarding day into an insane and surreal adventure.
All right. You're not feeling that
I just have to wait and see it.
It's something that we talked about earlier on today. Like, Stewie has enough to hold himself in his own storyline with Brian, basically, primarily.
Yeah.
And that usually lasts maybe 8 to 15 minutes worth of content on the show. I don't think he can hold his own show.
Did any of you guys like the Cleveland show?
Not terribly.
I didn't watch it.
See, like, I thought that was a good spinoff. And, like, I actually really liked that show. So, I mean, I'm with you. But he was definitely a side character as well. Stewie, to me, like, I think he's popular enough that they can have a spinoff. It's already got a 2 year deal. I just never really care for the just primarily Stewie and Brian episodes.
Right. Because he doesn't have a whole lot of places to go. You know, his depth comes from his kind of Looney Tunes style walkabout life, which is he can literally do whatever it is that he wants, but it also kind of makes him lack any kind of depth because he has nothing grounding him. Cleveland at least had a shot because, well, there's more to learn about this guy and his backstory where, you know, he goes back to school, Ben, and he gets a new wife and family and whatnot. Like, okay, we can discuss that. Stewie's won, permanently won, and he ventures to take over the world, to kill his mother, and also just get into shenanigans. So it's, I'll give it a shot, but I don't have a whole lot of hope for it.
Yeah. It's expected to premiere on Fox during the 2027-28 season and will stream the next day on Hulu. Okay. I mean, I guess he's got to be a little bit older if he's enrolling in a new preschool.
Right.
So what was preschool, not. Like 4, 5?
I mean, he was at like daycares during the show.
He's already 45 at age 3.
Yeah, right, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, that is a great thing about cartoons as well, is that you can actually suspend reality.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't think about it being that odd, but if you started using little people as children, like, you'd be like, that guy has a beard.
What if every episode was just a different day? Then it all fits into 1 year.
There you go. Like the 24.
Yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland, right? 24 episodes, but it's one day.
Yeah, and he could have a different 24-hour episode. The only one that threw me off was Prison Break. Because they got out.
Yeah.
That's like season 2. It's like, wow, well, thought the whole show was about getting out.
What are we doing?
Yeah, now it's just like two dudes on the run.
Here they are.
Maybe they change the name, right? You know, on the run.
I think you kind of have to change the name.
Right? Same actors, same situation, but no longer Prison Break.
Use the same title, but subtitle it. Prison Break, on the run. Like, yeah. Okay.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
Obviously not a comedy. It's a very serious show, but what's it? The Pit. Right, that show about the
doctors in Pittsburgh.
Right, in the emergency room. So that's one where I think each episode is 1 hour
of that emergency room and what's going on there. Have you watched that, Miles?
I have not.
You know a lot about Pittsburgh.
Yeah. What are they? Are they a Presbyterian?
I was.
Then it's a lie.
I don't know. I was going to say that. I mean, like, you might recognize the hospital.
It's like Grey's Anatomy. You can watch that and you go, there's no hospital like that here. Why is it always raining all the time?
What happened to this guy? He choked on a Pamani Brothers.
I got a kibbutz in my throat.
CBS has announced some of their upcoming schedule for 26-27. Big news is there's a new NCIS.
Oh, can they do it in a small town?
Seriously.
I am so
happy you asked that.
NCIS boring or
yeah.
You know what it is? It's the opposite of that. It's NCIS New York.
Oh, wow. That's a concept.
And guess who's coming back to the franchise?
Jesus.
I'll give Mark Harmon.
No. Thrill will get it.
LL Cool J.
Yeah.
does he lick his lips a lot?
Have you never noticed that?
No.
Oh, dude. Yeah, like every music video. And look, I think for a man, he's got a nice mouth, lips, I don't know.
There's your promo
number two.
It's part of his like thing to get
LL
chicks.
Has nice
He'd always
lips.
Be like,
He always, if he'll say a sentence, and then in the pause, he looks and says, Miles, good to see you. What you doing later, bro? Like, he can't help it. But then I can't stop staring at his mouth when he does. I'm like, why do you keep licking your lips, brother?
Right. So, to me, in his videos, he was doing it, I assume, because ladies love his lips, too. Not just Cool James, but I don't know. But, yeah, he's coming back. He's coming back to the franchise. So, yeah, new NCIS, and LL's back.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. A woman in Wisconsin stabs her boyfriend to death because he wouldn't take her out to dinner. Meanwhile, when your plane won't take off because a woman is on her phone and won't get off, you are dealing with a winner. Three people are shot at a Taco Bell after a customer fills water cup with Coke. A zoo has to close in Japan, and the reason is no joke. And all the animals escape from a farm in Indiana. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's my cock.
All right, top story. We go to Wisconsin, where the women know what they want. The story goes that she informed her boyfriend that she would like to go out to dinner on a recent Friday night. Simple request. Want to go out for dinner.
All right.
Possibly feeling in a more romantic spirit or due to cost or whatever reason, he showed up at her home with chicken drumsticks that he brought himself with the idea that he would season them and cook them right there at her home in her air fryer. Unfortunately, she didn't like this particular idea, and the two launched into an argument, with the boyfriend allegedly, quote, pushing her buttons. That's about the time that the woman armed herself with a knife and proceeded to stab her boyfriend in the chest and through the heart, killing him there at the scene.
Jesus, man.
She stabbed this man to death because he brought over chicken.
How long had they been dating?
Oh, it doesn't say that.
No, man. Oh. And look, when you talk to the cops, it's, well, they pushed my buttons. Ma'am, did he push you? No. He pushed my buttons.
Right. Authorities arrived and took the woman into custody, where she was reportedly chatty and calm about the whole situation. She's being charged with first-degree homicide. The things that she was saying was like, yeah, I stabbed him. She's like, if his mom didn't like me then, she's definitely going to like me now. Like,
you're right.
Right.
You're right. You're tracking. Yes, mom probably would not like you.
Take my ID just in case something happens to me, something like that. Like, she was... Fun times. Just go out to dinner.
God, man.
That's also what she was saying. She's like, I should have just gone out to the bar. This is ridiculous.
You're the one who stabbed him.
You stabbed the guy to death. You stabbed him in the chest with a knife. Side note, I don't know how hard that is, but that's bone you're going through.
Yeah.
Damn.
Over air fryer chicken wings.
No kidding.
That's why he died.
Which sound fantastic.
Right. Does not sound bad.
Baby, we got to save some money. What?
Nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
In other news to Florida, where rules are rules. The story takes place at a local Taco Bell, in which two customers entered the restaurant, humbly asking the employee behind the counter for a cup for water. But as plenty of us have seen or even considered before, the one that received the cup went over to the drink fountain and proceeded to fill the water cup with soda pop. It happens. This initiated a verbal altercation between the employee and the two customers. During the argument, a third customer walked in, and the employee began challenging the three to, quote, do something before being removed by another employee. At this time, a cell phone was brought into the mix to film the altercation, and the video clearly picks up the sound of a firearms slide being racked. The firearm belonged to the first employee, who proceeded to pistol whip one of the customers before firing shots at the others. Authorities were called and the employee was arrested.
That's going to be the new Taco Bell slogan. Taco Bell. F around and find out.
F-A-F-O.
Eat back your gun.
Little chihuahua all strapped.
Water means water, man.
I forgot to tell you.
Right, that's the issue. Taco Bell person took it too far, but I do agree. Like, you have a right to be mad. Like, hey, you ask for a water cup, you get water.
They ain't gonna ask for a water cup at Taco Bell no more.
No,
don't.
We're for real around here, damn it.
Damn.
Back a gun.
Oh, I wonder if Taco Bell statement's like, he told him.
Right.
That store, you know what they only sell? Hard shells.
Damn.
Those gangsters. Let's go to Miami, where flight passengers can ruin everybody's good time. A Delta plane headed for Atlanta was the scene of one such passenger, as a woman aboard the flight clearly had a very important phone call. She remained on her phone throughout the boarding process as the plane backed away from the gate, but in spite of repeated instruction from the flight crew, she never got off her call. The crew conducted their safety briefing and focused all efforts afterwards on getting the woman to hang up her phone. She just wouldn't wrap it up.
She might have already been selected for who sucks less next week.
Unfortunately, she refused and actually became belligerent, prompting the pilot to return to the gate. When told to leave the plane, she continued her refusal, prompting a deplaning of the entire craft. Everybody off the bus. She initially attempted to exit with the rest of the passengers, but was intercepted by authorities and arrested. The plane was delayed for about an hour, and all aboard were issued an apology.
I really feel like that on airlines, right? You get on, and they'll ask, hey, you're sitting in the emergency seat, you know, where you help people get on the plane, blah, 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 right. Say yes. If you don't have an air marshal, I feel like they should, you know, who here volunteers to throw hands for something stupid? Because I would take it every time. Like, look, man. On your 1 to 10 scale of what the problem is, she's about a 3.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just like, I'll deal with it. If you give me the authority, I will make quick work of it. Do not delay my flight because you're an ignorant, self-entitled bitch.
To Atlanta.
I have no problem dealing with that.
That's what, an hour flight? But, hang up the damn phone. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
I mean, really, there should be like, you know, do you agree to beat the living ass out of someone who's just being difficult for the sake of being difficult?
Right.
I do. I absolutely do.
I can't imagine just doing that and then making a whole plane.
The entire freaking plane.
Like, come on.
I can't imagine the phone call that you're on where you feel justified to do that. There's a handful of situations where, well, what if this happened? Well, if that happens, okay, if, I can understand if, where if, you're at. Right. Yeah,
what
I
if
don't know the phone it, call where you're on a plane. You know the rules. Hang up your damn phone. Airplane mode. It has been this way for decades.
Yeah. Since they invented the cell phone.
Right.
There you go.
Criminy.
That's unbelievable to me.
Yes, it is. But just in case those stories left a bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
We go to Indiana, where something small turns into something big. Authorities got a call about an animal that was found in the roadway, and a deputy quickly made his way to the scene to sort it out. But upon arrival, they were forced to call for backup, because it was more than a single animal that was found in the road, as the contents of basically an entire farm were scattered about the area. Goats, chickens, turkeys, ducks, and geese were all among the animals found around the roadway. They were all safely secured by authorities to be returned home. Body cam footage of the incident was shared to social media to the delight of all users. Hooray.
That's whole farm. Like, yeah, it's more than one chicken, buddy.
Prison break. Men's Room Sports. You got more playoff basketball on Amazon and ESPN tonight. Playoff hockey on TNT and True TV. And baseball over on MLB Network. The Mariners had their rubber match against the Twins earlier today after evening the score last night. And following a great rally in the ninth, the Mariners took the game 5-3 and the series 2-1. Well done, boys.
Sweet.
They will make their way back home tomorrow, so they're off tomorrow to host the Royals over the weekend. As far as your weather, should be clear skies with a low of 47 tonight. Tomorrow, they are predicting a beautiful, partly cloudy day with a high of 72. Oh.
Nice.
Sip your headlines with that, my God.
Speaking of tomorrow, see you next time. The head chef is back with Ted's Meat and Potatoes. The game known as Big Dummy is also coming up tomorrow. Lovely Jolene's coming up in just seconds. Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until tomorrow, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.